It is a State Capitol Report on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The nonpartisan grassroots political organization League of Women Voters of Wisconsin, they conducted a survey to hear from voters about the experience of casting a ballot during this month's general election. According to the Wisconsin Elections Commission, turnout was higher than most midterms, but did not exceed 2018 levels. Unofficially, roughly 57% of Wisconsin's eligible voters cast a ballot, compared to 2018, when turnout hit a record 59%. Join in on your experience at the polls, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Eileen Newcomer is Voter Education Manager for the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin. Eileen, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me back. I'm really glad to be with you all this morning.
Well, let's dig into the survey. The League typically completes a survey on voter experiences after elections, and hundreds of people took the survey for the midterms. What are some of your biggest takeaways?
Yeah, so we are still actively collecting responses to the survey, but you're exactly right. We've already had hundreds of people respond, and I'm happy to share some of kind of our preliminary results and things that we have heard from voters so far. And one thing that I always take away from these surveys is if you ask people, especially to like kind of give open-ended answers, we get just so much variation between voter to voter because we're all very unique individuals. And so one of my top line takeaways is from our question that we asked voters, which method did they vote, whether voting by mail or absentee by mail, early voting in person, or on election day in person. And it's really telling to me that, you know, we asked that question, everyone gave us a different response. And so to me, the takeaway is a reminder that voting is not one size fits all. And it's important that we have these different options for people to meet their lived reality. So for example, one of the responses we received for why somebody voted early was because they had surgery. And so they didn't know if they'd be able to go to the polls on November 8th. And so they wanted to plan ahead and take advantage of early voting. And so that's why they chose to vote that way. And then what's also kind of interesting is people may have like the same reason for why they choose to vote a certain method, but it actually leads them to kind of a different conclusion. Hmm. So what do I mean by that? Some people say like, I wanna make absolutely sure that my ballot gets counted and casted. And so for one person, that means I'm voting absentee by mail because it gives me the flexibility that I need in order to do the research on the candidates and make sure that I take the time to turn my ballot in and have it counted. And for other people, that means I'm showing up on election day to make sure that I physically put my ballot into the tabulator, get my I voted sticker, and be part of that community feeling of voting on election day as well.
This is so interesting. What do you do with these survey results? Where do they go?
Yeah, so after most elections, we put together a post-election report. We use information from the survey and then also information that we get from our election observers. So they're trained volunteers that go across the state to different polling places. They look out for what's going well, what's not going well. Are people being turned away? Why are they being turned away? And we compile all of this information into a report that just discusses, you know, what was the reality on the ground here in Wisconsin? And if there are statewide takeaways, we definitely like include that, but then also get down to community specific information to kind of just document what happened. And then also we put together a list of recommendations based on the information that we have, which we use to not only inform our own advocacy and our partner advocacy, but we also share it with election officials like the Wisconsin Elections Commission, the state legislature, and others as well.
Talking about midterm election takeaways with Eileen Newcomer, Voter Education Manager at the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org on your experience at the polls. Eileen, I wonder, you know, with elections administered at the municipal level and more than 1,800 clerks doing that work. Can that mean people have different experiences at the polls in different communities?
Yes, that's so true. And even within the same community, the experience can be different. And one of the areas where we've seen this most telling is around curbside voting. So curbside voting is a right for people who have a disability, who would have trouble getting inside the polls. Every polling place is required to offer it in some way. But the trick is, like, how do you communicate the fact that that's available to voters when they're showing up and just, you know, kind of driving up next to the doors? And some communities or some polling places have greeters available, so they'll come and like chat with people as they drive up and see if they need curbside voting. Others have signs. Sometimes it says honk if you want a curbside vote or call this number. And then sometimes there's no signage at all. And so, yes, if you made it known to the poll workers that you want to vote curbside, they would accommodate. But it's the trick is, how do you let people know when you have a physical disability that would prevent you from going into the polling place to start? And one of the things that we found that I find fascinating, but also kind of troubling, is that even within one municipality, the method of how they let people know that curbside voting is available varies from polling place to polling place. So it's not even uniform across a municipality, let alone our whole state.
Is that lack of uniformity a problem, do you think?
In some aspects, it is. And then other aspects, it really is a strength. So there's always pros and cons to every, I guess, feature of an election system. But in this particular example, I think it would be best if everyone knew that it was available. And we find that voters really appreciate having greeters at the polling place, not only to provide assistance with curbside voting, but it's helpful with the flow of polling places to make sure that people know which line they need to get into. They can help make sure that people don't wait in the check-in line if they actually need to register, only to like get to the poll books and realize, oh, you actually have to go to the back of the other line and get to the front. Or if people show up at the wrong polling place and need to be redirected, a greeter can be really helpful to make sure that people don't waste their time at the wrong polling place as well. So there are other reasons why you would want to have a greeter. And these are the kinds of things that we are really fortunate to get this information so that we can take best practices like this and share it among clerks and others in the state to try and increase access to various aspects of voting.
Such detailed information and detail-oriented information and accounting there. Eileen Newcomer leads voter education for the Nonpartisan League of Women Voters of Wisconsin. The group advocates for informed and active participation in government. Join in on your voting experience in the midterms, what it was like to be a poll observer, what you encountered knocking on doors in your community, the message you conveyed about voting. 800-642-1234. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The League of Women Voters of Wisconsin works to empower voters, sponsoring events to help people engage with the political process. The group turns its attention now to the April 4th spring election, hosting a series on Wisconsin courts and judicial elections with former judges as guest speakers. Join in on all aspects of voter education, what you took away from the midterms and polling. 800-642-1234. Eileen Newcomer manages voter education for the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin and stays with us. Eileen, let's turn to poll observers. You manage the League's election observation program. Can you describe what that is and how it works?
Sure. So we've been working on this program for over 10 years now, and it started really at a small scale in focusing on several polling places in Milwaukee. And over the years, We've grown it to be a statewide program where we recruit hundreds of volunteers to go and observe polling places on election day, and also central count locations as well on election day. And so we train our observers on the rules and procedures at not only polling places, but central count, to look out for if anything is going wrong, if people are being turned away, why are they being turned away, to gather information on that. And then also to keep an eye out for what is also going well, and if there are any best practices that could be taken from one polling place and implemented in other polling places around the state as well.
Hmm. What concerns are you hearing from observers after the election?
Yeah, I think one of my top line takeaways from our observer program this year is, while there were issues with the election, you know, some good issues to have. So we did have quite high turnout this year, and that led to, you know, long lines, and, you know, wait time being longer than ideal in some polling places. There were kind of just the typical issues on election day. Things like voters not being issued provisional ballots when they were supposed to be, issues with the accessible voting equipment not being set up. But that being said, I think that there were a lot of concerns leading up to election day that we would have kind of unique challenges in this election after all of the discussion around what happened in 2020 and kind of the ongoing conversation and investigations after 2020. And so we actually were really thankful that even though there was a higher volume of observers and people interested in the election, people got to experience just how smooth and generally knowledgeable and friendly poll workers are, and the different checks and balances that we have in our system.
You find that there is growing interest from voters to become poll observers?
We do, yeah. So not only did we have quite a few new observers in our program, people who had never even volunteered with us before, we also ask our observers just to kind of keep an eye out if there are other people observing at the polls on election day. And in a typical year, our observers are the only person in a lot of, especially like rural polling sites. Mm-hmm. But we did hear from our observers that there was an increased number of other people out there observing, whether for themselves or representing a party or another organization. And I think it's kind of cool to see that more people want to learn about the mechanics of voting in Wisconsin and, you know, see for themselves, like, how does the process work?
One more quick question on this before we move on. You know, we debriefed with Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf about the midterms, and she said the state doesn't count the number of poll observers. Should the WEC keep a tally from one election to the next?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I think I haven't thought of it enough to have a strong opinion either mm-hmm. way. But I do know that when observers go to a polling place, they are required to check in with the chief inspector mm-hmm. and sign in. And so if somebody actually was really curious about how many polling or poll observers there were on any given election day, I believe the sign-in list for observers is public information, and so they could compile that list if they wanted to.
We're talking about midterm elections, the takeaways. Eileen Newcomer is with us, Voter Education Manager for the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin. You can join in with your takeaways from the midterms and what it was like to cast your ballot, 800-642-1234. Eileen, let's talk about the education piece here. Tonight at UW Oshkosh, local chapters of the League are holding an event to inform voters about Wisconsin's court system ahead of the spring election for state Supreme Court. What weight does this election carry?
Ooh, that is a really great question. We have a really high profile Supreme Court election coming up. And I think that is kind of top of mind when people think about the upcoming spring elections. But not only is it the state Supreme Court that's going to be on the ballot, it's judicial races up and down the ballot, and also local races as well. And I think I think it's really important. I feel like people do kind of think, oh, judicial elections, I don't really know how to judge a judge, and I haven't, you know, had personal experience with the court system, so maybe I don't know exactly what to do when casting my vote. And so one of the reasons why we're talking about it so early is just to help people get a sense of, you know, what to expect from our courts, what do their processes look like, and then how do they become an informed voter so that they can feel really confident that they've done their research and are casting their vote. And also, I think, to shed awareness on what are some of the issues that the courts decide on that impact just like the average Wisconsinite's life. So just to tie back to our survey that we talked about earlier, one of the things that we heard from voters is that although drop boxes weren't allowed in this last election, people really liked being able to use them, and it made voting a lot more convenient for them. And so that's the kind of thing that the courts made that decision to not allow drop boxes anymore. And that, you know, directly impacts a lot of people in our state.
Or sometimes people might think, like, well, it's clear to me why the state Supreme Court, you know, voting for a new justice is a key election, but they might not understand why local judge elections are important and what is at stake. How do you convey the down ballot voting to as part of your education?
Sure. Yeah, I think some of the different things that we've had educational series on are around sentencing and disparities in sentencing and why it would be important to have an impartial judge if you were to be bringing a case to the court system, or if, you know, for some reason you have a criminal, like you're part of a criminal trial or something like that, just like the importance of having a fair shake and how we all, you know, would want that. And another reason why I think it's important to be talking about it now is that early next month is when candidates are going to start circulating their paperwork for to be on the ballot. And I think it's really important that voters have a choice on who is going to, you know, not only represent them in local government, but also who they might see on the bench if they were to end up in court.
Let's spend a moment on turnout in the midterms. Wisconsin Elections Commission says we had one of the highest voter turnouts in the nation for the midterms, about 57% unofficially of eligible voters casting a ballot. What do you think is behind that? Why is turnout so high? Why was turnout so high, do you think?
Well, I think it's a mix of factors. I think people are more engaged in the elections than they have in past years. And but also there's been a lot of really great work from organizations, not to toot our own horn, but the League and other, you know, partners like ACLU and Wisconsin Conservation Voices, and people just, you know, talking about elections and working to get out the vote. And I think there's really important issues at stake, not only in the midterms, but also coming up. And people really, that's resonating with people, and they want to make sure their voices are heard.
In our last few moments together, what is the key thing? How does the League hope to expand participation in the future? What will make that impact?
Yeah, one of the things that we really focus on is reaching out to traditionally marginalized voters. So whether that's young people, people of color, we have a really strong coalition working on increasing access for voters who are eligible to vote but are in jail, and trying to help them get access to their ballot. And so I think the increased attention on people who don't traditionally vote, and then also making sure that voting is more accessible to everyone, is really making a difference.
Eileen, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Eileen Newcomer is Voter Education Manager for the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.